for Rima Sango Show on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
Stanley Becker joins me now, author and consultant, the change creator. Stanley, good evening to you. Are you well, my brother?
Yeah, evening. Hi, over to you and all the listeners.
Yeah, excellent. Listen, I know that there are some plans underway at the moment for some seminars, either this year or next year, by Change Creator. I've been getting a lot of people asking me, when is this going to happen? And I suppose the reality of COVID-19, the lockdowns and so forth, were a big reason why we didn't see all of that happen. What's the story? What is in the pipeline?
Yeah, well, we've been speaking all year trying to, you know what the show is about changing the way we think. And, when it comes to business and specifically that's what we're going to be focusing on, people in business, I think about what Einstein said, you know, the two quotes, when he said, if we keep doing the same thing, we're going to keep getting the same results. And insanity is doing the same thing and expecting things to change. So me and a group of businesses got together and decided, what are we going to do different in 2022? Over and above that, Aubrey, we know how bad, and we don't have to keep saying it, because we all know how bad the unemployment statistics is here in South Africa. And for many people, the only option left is to start their own business, to start producing their own form of income. But it's such a scary place if you don't know what to do, you don't know what to start and what to focus on and where to go. So for this reason, we've decided for the first time in, I think it's been many years since we've had a seminar from Change Creator side, we're going to be doing an online seminar, two of them actually, Aubrey. One being now in December, the 11th, 12th and 13th. Next week we'll discuss properly what we're going to be discussing there and giving some our listeners already some insights and some things to think about. So we're going to have it the Friday, the Saturday and the Sunday, Friday evening, Saturday and Sunday on those dates. We'll give it the 11th, 12th and 13th of December. But then we also know many people are not going to be available that time, so we're also going to have one in the beginning of January. And the idea is to start the new year 2022 off with an absolute bang. If you're going to crush the new year, you've got to start with a plan. You cannot go anymore. We do not have the luxury of going into the new year with no plan of action. But the truth is, many people in business are struggling at the moment and not knowing what to do. So what we decided to do is a seminar that we are going to call How to 10 Times the Wealth and Business in 2022. So it might sound like it's only going to be for business leaders, but it's going to be for anybody that says, how am I going to increase my wealth next year? How am I going to secure things when things are looking so unstable? And we've put a lot of research into this. We've got information from a lot of really experts in the subject together. And it's going to be something we're doing for our own companies. But it's going to be not only a seminar, Aubrey, it's also going to be the opportunity for like-minded business people through 2022 to get together and to on a almost like a weekly basis, because we're going to go beyond the seminars. On a weekly basis, we're going to get together, we're going to mastermind, and we're actually going to live and apply the principles that we need to learn. But the first thing is, we need to learn these principles, and we're going to share so many that just one of these principles has the opportunity to change your business and take it to a new level, or if you're starting with a new business or got a new business, to really give you that foundation you need. We're not just going to give one, we are going to give so many to it, because we really want people to succeed, and we need to be supporting each other this way. So what we will be doing is, in next week's show, is we'll be unpacking a little bit more. We'll be giving people that are listening already some tools that they can start using right away. But what I will say up front is, anybody that wants to already know more about this and be a part of it, go to our website, which is changecreatorsa.com, changecreatorsa.com. At the bottom, you'll see a place where you can leave your details and a message. Leave a message just to let us know who you are, that you'd be interested in knowing more. You'll get a free copy of our book, Liftoff. And then in the next week, as we start putting together and planning exactly how we can add the maximum amount of value and who we can add to be a part of the seminar, we will let people know. But I thought it would be a nice idea tonight just to start mentioning it, to put it in the minds of our listeners. If you have a business, if you want to start a business, or even if you just want to increase your income, the only way that's going to happen is if you plan properly for 2022. So let's do this together as a community, and let's go into the year with at least some hope that we can make our businesses survive in these very tough times.
Well, give us those contact details for anybody that might be interested to join those seminars again. Stanley, how do they get in touch with you?
they go to our website on changecreatorsa.com. So obviously with the www.changecreatorsa.com. At the bottom, they'll see a place where they can leave their name and number and then also a detail. Just put in the details, because we get a lot of email. We get a lot of people coming through them wanting different things from us. Just let us know you would like to know more about this. You'd like to be a part of this. And then within the next week, we will start giving out the details. It's not going to be unaffordable. We want to make it as affordable for every person to attend. And we want to create a community where people can support each other. Go to changecreatorsa.com and we'll start giving you the details. And as I said, next week on the show, we'll talk a little bit more in detail about what to expect from us.
Stanley Beckett, author and consultant at Change Creator. Let's take a quick spot. And when you come back, Stanley, you are going to introduce our guest for us and what the conversation is all about.
702, let's walk the talk.
Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
Stanley Beckett is my guest, author and consultant at Change Creator. Stanley, I see Kazel Hendricks is a guest. Who is Kazel Hendricks and why are we talking to Kazel?
Yeah, Kazel is the CEO of an organization that from Change Creator side, and me personally, we've been supporting for many years. And it's an organization called OPIBOL, and they work with people with disabilities. And they've just been doing the most amazing work through the years, I mean, really selfishly. And you know, if you remember, Aubrey, the last few weeks we've really been talking about employment. You remember we had Jill on last week. We started talking about how to start thinking differently about going out there looking for jobs. And, you know, people with disabilities are struggling just as much as everybody else is in looking for employment. And what Kazel and I were having a conversation about is that it's important for people to realize people with disabilities are just as able to do the work as anybody else. And we need to start understanding and seeing that. So because this is Disability Month, and because this is an organization that's very close to my heart, I invited them on tonight to come and talk a little bit about employment opportunities and how we should think differently about people with disabilities when it comes to the employment world, and also just to tell us a little bit more about what they're doing to help people with disabilities in this month. So I just say thank you again to you for allowing us this platform, for allowing people like these, that we can give them a voice and that we can hear their story as well.
Stanley Beckett, thank you very much. Let me introduce to you the CEO of OPIBOL, Kazel Hendricks. Kazel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Aubrey, and good evening to Stanley.
Yeah. So, Kazel, we are in Disability Month, you're going to be talking about opportunities for employment for people with disabilities. For people without disabilities, it is hard to find employment. I imagine that for people with disabilities, it becomes even doubly, or maybe triple, hard to find employment. What are some of the lived experiences in the search for employment are people with disabilities? And perhaps you could even go and tell us which disabilities find the most difficult experiences with employment finding or hunting. But what are some of the difficulties that we are perhaps not aware of that people living with disabilities are faced with on a daily basis?
Yes, thanks, Aubrey. You know, firstly, I would like us to draw the attention, like you rightfully said, it's Disability Month. And, you know, and the focus and of this month, the theme, you know, is consists of inclusivity, you know, and accessibility towards our pandemic world that we are facing us in now. And talking about employment, I think, you know, far beyond the boundaries of just being a person with a disability, we have seen how skillful persons the broader society can be even during the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, myself, I'm a person with one entity arm, and facing my individual challenges as well. So one of the things that I've started during the COVID pandemic was to make furniture.
Yeah.
You know, and it started out so simple, but the creative art creative side, rather, you know, came to the fore.
Yeah.
And it started out so simple, like I said. And, you know, it just shows you that the ability that persons with disabilities really have, you know, and also to cross and to go beyond their own limits and boundaries, you know, to show, like also Stanley said, you know, bring out the abilities within them and show what we can also do, what everybody persons can do. We just doing it differently, you know, we just use adaptive ways.
Yeah.
To do what we are doing, and yes, indeed, persons with disabilities are facing some huge battles in terms of employment, you know. But I think, and I just want to touch on some of those battles that persons with disabilities are facing. However, there are also some forms of barriers that exclude persons, you know, from participating in employment as well. I mean, if you just, I'm currently busy writing a thesis on the lack of accessible transport for persons with disability.
Mm.
My population is just in my area where I'm living, but you know, this it can go really so wide. But those are one of the areas, you know, the inaccessible transportation system that can also prevent persons with severe disabilities, movable disabilities, physical disabilities,
yeah,
to access the mainstream economy, the labor market, you know.
Yeah.
And those are kind of the things that that is also, that the high unemployment rate is also due to. Stanley earlier alluded to the fact that the percentage of unemployment specifically for persons with disability is so sky high. And indeed, it is like that. You know, during my research, I found that if we look at the population around persons with disabilities in South Africa alone, we are looking at an estimate of about 4.5 million, you know, of our almost 60 million population that we have. And that equates to almost 92% of persons with disabilities that they consist of that unemployment rate.
Yeah.
that we're having. So there's a huge backlog and also a huge uphill battle, but also an environment that can create lots of opportunities, you know, opportunities that that persons with disabilities specifically can now use this opportunity to be creative in terms of skills, you know, and instead of applying for jobs, create jobs through the skills and the arts and crafts, you know, and abilities that they can contribute and offer to the table,
yeah,
to the, especially, you know, to the to mainstream economy and also amongst persons with disabilities. I think it's important that we create that that atmosphere for lack of a better word, to say, listen, we are a pool of skilled persons with disabilities that can also contribute, that can also do something, that can also showcase, listen, we also have something to offer. We don't really always need to go and knock on closed doors you know, and be shown away. And I think that also, you know, is one of the reasons that exclude persons with disabilities from employment is those attitudes that we must face, you know, from society, from employers, you know, that discriminative attitudes of persons, you know, when we knock at those doors.
I wanted to ask the question of my listeners, particularly those living with disabilities. If you are somebody that is living with a specific disability, please give me a call. Are you looking for employment? What are some of the challenges that you've been facing in that quest, right? My guest is Kazel Hendricks. He's the CEO of Oppie Ball Foundation, and they've taken the opportunity to talk about how you, as a person living with a disability, can change perhaps certain things in the process of searching for employment, understanding certain things about the economic environment that we're living in that can help you find some form of employment in these very, very hard times. I get a lot of criticism, Kazel, from people that say, you know, Aubrey, your agenda and your attempt to try and make everybody an entrepreneur is quite nauseating because not everybody is going to ultimately be an entrepreneur. I'm therefore not sensitive to the fact that not everybody is naturally going to go into business or perhaps find the kind of work where they've got to use certain entrepreneurial skills. And I accept that kind of criticism because people are not gifted in the same ways. But I'm looking at a reality, Kazel, where the options are fewer and fewer, right? The options out there are fewer and fewer. In other words, the options of being employed by some large corporate or some large factory or some business that is just taking people in are becoming fewer and fewer. Now, in that reality, what do we do? What do we do? Do we stop needing to pay bills? Do we stop needing to feed our families? What do we do? So spare a thought, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say to those that criticize me in that sense, that what do we do for those people that don't find the opportunities from corporate South Africa, from businesses that are out there that perhaps might be employing people? Could we perhaps have a conversation about, as an option, entrepreneurial ventures that could be even available for people that are living with disabilities such as yourself? You went into furniture manufacturing, Kazel. I'm sure you were looking for a job at some point, and perhaps that option became slimmer and slimmer. Do you see where I'm going?
Yes, creative side that I just used that came out. But, you know, I tend also to agree with your listeners. And there's also a flip side of the coin to this. You know, we are speaking when your back is against the wall.
Yeah.
And I agree with you when you say it's like when nothing is coming and when nothing is happening, you can't sit and wait. You need now to be creative and think out of the box. What are you going to do with what you have?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with what with the skill that you have, that with what you can contribute?
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're going to seek employment, you have a certain skill that you're going to sell to the employer.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do with that skill? You know, we don't necessarily want to use that skill when our back is against the wall.
Yeah.
However, the other side is that I also want to emphasize the importance of accountability and responsibility of our government sectors, you know, of our corporate sectors, you know, is that why is it that today we are still faced with such a huge backlog of our equity targets, employment targets that can't be met?
Yeah.
We are sitting with a minimum of 2% across the body, not even close to 7.5% anticipated reach that we are supposed to employ.
Yeah.
Those big employments, who is keeping our authorities to account to making sure that persons with disabilities are equal participants? when it comes to decision making, when it comes to employment, and when it comes to also be active members. You know, when, for example, our budget, IDP budget, local budget is being discussed.
Yeah.
Let me quickly tell you a small story about how our local government, for example, lacked the capacity of really understanding what the needs of persons with disabilities are. We, our organization once attended the IDP budget of the local municipality. And a question was raised from someone asking the presenter, what are the city doing to accommodate persons with disabilities? And the answer was, we are upgrading pavements. Now, you see, that stereotype is that they only see, the perception is that persons with disabilities need pavement. The perception is that persons with disabilities need grants. The perception is that persons with disabilities need to be catered for. That is the perception. What we want to change, we want to create empowerment. We want to create employment. We want to create partnerships. We want to facilitate those partnerships. And those are one of the things that we are doing in our organization. Skill development programs are a very much, education and skills development programs are a very much critical role of importance to use that platform and to facilitate, to get that bridge between unemployment and different stakeholders in our different sectors. You know, some of our sector partners, for example, is a wholesale and retail partner. And you know, the outcry for persons to be trained in that sector is so huge. And those are one of the areas that we are facilitating, that we are empowering persons, you know, specifically with disabilities, to make sure that employment targets are also reached. We are in stakeholder partnerships also with different government sectors to make sure that persons with disabilities also get the opportunity, for example, to participate in procurement processes. You know,
and how have you been doing thus far? I mean, what's your progress in that lobbying process? How successful have you been?
Indeed, it's a process that has still a long way to go. I think where we are now is to sensitize and to make sure that the preferential procurement policies of different departments, different companies, are really making provision for those companies to help companies consist of persons with disabilities get on the databases, to help companies with persons with disabilities, you know, introduce them to persons, to organizations, you know, that also wants to support job creation for persons with disabilities. And like you said, we don't really need to act or react when our back is against the wall. And people are really welcome, you know, to reach out to us, you know, to be part of that process where we are really in negotiations with different sectors.
Yeah.
To say, guys.
Are you finding, Kazel? I mean, I hear the lobby speak. I hear it, and it's definitely part of the arsenal of weapons you need to use to try and make sure that people with disabilities find employment as much as possible. My question to you is, how successful are you? I hear the issues that you raise. I hear them, and I absolutely can't disagree with them. But at a practical level, how successful are you in finding employment for people with disabilities as you raise these issues?
Stanley, sorry, Aubrey, the past few years, and we know that COVID had a very, very, very huge impact in economic growth.
Yeah.
And, you know, which indeed include persons with disabilities in that area.
Yeah.
However, you know, we facilitated during this time, during this period, you know, we trained, for example, a few persons and organizations and companies on specifically how to prepare your business, what to present your business to different organizations, you know, align it with the needs of different service providers, because now you will find that some service providers subcontract, for example, certain services to persons with disabilities, a certain portion. You know, if some consortiums would, for example, say they've got 30% stake in this organization, and
yeah.
now this 30% stake would be now divided, you know, amongst, for example, local entrepreneurs and persons with disabilities in, for example, a specific
but,
area.
But give me some practicalities, Kaza. I'll tell you why I'm sort of insisting on those issues.
Yes.
Because, and it's actually quite an apt conversation, because we're talking about, you know, local government, we're talking about corporates, we're talking about all of these entities which, over the last, I suppose, 5 years, 2 decades perhaps, have been quite disappointing in their ability to support people with disabilities with the opportunities for which you, as Oppy Ball, are lobbying, right? And it's probably why we've seen some of the political changes that we are seeing after the local government elections that are taking place. The fundamental, I suppose, reason why I'm asking these questions is, while the lobbying and the negotiation and the talk is taking place, right? Which and the lobbying and the negotiation and all of that stuff is important. In order to systemically change the institutions of our society to service people with disabilities. So I absolutely am behind you with that aspect of your efforts. My question, though, is, I suppose, at a far more practical level, that says, sure, while that is taking place, how many people with disabilities are actually getting jobs? How many people with disabilities are actually gainfully employed in one way or the other? Because I imagine you'll agree with me that they can't wait for the outcomes of all of this lobbying and discussion and pressure pointing, while that is a very important part of the work that must be done. They can't really wait, because they've waited long enough.
Yes, I fully agree. They've waited long enough. You know, I always say, when we, for example, have internships and benefits,
yeah.
the exit strategy for those temporary incomes, the youth's gap and challenge after that is to find sustainable employment. Temporary employment, it's just something that, like it is, temporary, but it doesn't address the long-term need. One of the other challenges that we are facing, Aubrey, is persons with disabilities, and I don't hope I'm going to step on those, must learn to step out of their comfort zones, to be able to say, the grant that I'm having and getting, we know that it's not enough. We know that it doesn't cater for our immediate needs
that we have. Yeah.
Yes, we have a challenge. For example, if we look at our stats, the youth unemployment rate and things like that.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of the other coin, we can't be quiet about it.
Sure.
We can't say nothing. We can't say nothing about it.
Yeah.
We can't stop raising awareness about it.
Sure.
We can't. We can't stop with negotiations about it. You know, percentage wise, with regard to our statistics of getting persons employed in the mainstream economy, our stats reflected. We didn't even touch the half of the bucket,
yeah,
because the percentage and the statistics shows that the backlog of unemployment is so huge.
Yeah.
Hence, we must work to facilitate a more accessible environment so persons with disabilities can have access. The lack of infrastructure and the lack of information that is distributed to persons with disabilities, you know, these things are happening, but unfortunately at a lower rate, at a small rate. And you know, us doing skills training to give persons also experience to the different sectors,
yeah,
I think that helps so much.
Yeah.
Because now when we give some of our skilled trained persons the opportunity to go through this, to go through these programs, tomorrow one of our learners is also graduating at the University of Technology in project management. You know, that was also one of the programs that.
But again, Kazal, I'm coming back to you, my brother, and I want to read you some of the messages just coming through here. This person says, "Evening, Aubrey. Your guest is spot on. Employers don't quickly employ people with disabilities as much as they prefer able-bodied people, in spite of the Labor Relations Act prescription of at least 1% of employees be differently abled people." Yeah. This person continues and says, "Good evening, Aubrey. What about us with mental illnesses? I was demoted at my workplace due to bipolar citing. I won't be able to handle stress. How do I grow at work? Does it mean I'm now stagnant? My current job also needs me to be accountable, and I'm doing that excellently, if I can say so myself. How will my prospect employers hire me, seeing that I was demoted due to my illness?" So the point I'm trying to make, Kazal, is that I absolutely stand 1,000,000% behind you with regards to the issues that you're raising, with regards to the accountability that government, corporate organizations should have in terms of legislation. I mean, these aren't things that you're sucking out of your thumb. The law says so, that opportunities must be given to people with disabilities, various types of disabilities. And it's not happening, right? And if it is happening, it is happening at an unbelievable snail's pace. Even as you speak to me now about this young person who has now graduated in some sort of project management qualification, I felt a little shudder in my heart that said, okay, this means that it's yet another so-called qualified person that is going to be waiting in line to find employment, not only as an unemployed person with a disability, but also standing in line behind other people that are standing behind other people who are looking for employment for many other different reasons. Now, the reality, though, on the ground is that all of these institutions are not moving fast enough, albeit the very important lobbying process that organizations like you are making. And it is absolutely important that that work continues. But what are we doing in the interim? What are we doing in terms of the fact that these institutions, whether it's local government, whether it's corporate organizations, aren't responding timeously and effectively enough to the very legitimate calls that you are making as an organization? What are we doing in the interim? What are we doing in the meantime for people that are waiting? Are there any programs that we are putting together? Entrepreneurial programs? I don't know. Are there any programs that are in place?
Absolutely. You are spot on. You know, our stakeholder partnerships with various organizations, like Stanley also alluded to earlier on, continuously in discussions and continuously, empowering not only persons with disabilities. I think that is where this huge gap is. You know, and like I also said earlier on, it's about employers taking responsibility. But how does employers take responsibility? The onus is also on us as persons with disabilities, also on us as society. You know, bringing persons with disabilities together with able-bodied persons, with societies, and say, guys, the right thing to do is also to give persons with disabilities a chance. I mean, the youth thing that we are facing, the youth thing, and I'm saying this as youth thing, is we still are faced with such youth discrimination against persons with disabilities. Mm. And in various forms, you know, bringing society together on a platform. And yes, you are rightfully saying, what are we doing in the interim whilst we are doing the advocacy and awareness? That might create some or bring out some creativity in some of us.
Yeah.
But yet again, something needs to put the food on the table.
Yeah.
Something needs to feed our family. And I believe that us as a society, as a collective, does have the responsibility to make sure that whatever we are doing, planning conferences, planning seminars, planning programs, it should be inclusive. Because us as a society does have a collective responsibility to make sure that people with disabilities are part of what we are doing. And I think we can't divorce ourselves from that responsibility that we also have as a society. You know, persons with disabilities have been hugely discriminated in the past. And rightfully, your listener earlier alluded to the fact that, you know, inaccessibility buildings, for example, inaccessibility environments are some of the things, you know, youth discriminators that prevent persons with disabilities to participate in these societal programs, to participate in the labor market. And these are realities that we are facing. And, you know, one voice can only go so far. But if we have a collective voice, we can really make a bigger impact. And I trust tonight, you know, that some of your listeners, that this will found solace and this will touch the heart of some business people out there, you know, to say, let me look behind possible barriers, you know, possible undue hardship that I might see in my organization. Let me, as an employer, give a person with a disability a chance.
Mm.
Let me, as an employer, as a business person, let me take that initiative to be the first to make the change. Because there's a pool of skilled persons with disabilities out there who's waiting for a chance. Don't look against the crutches. Don't look against the wheelchair. Don't look against the walking cane. Don't look against the things that you might perceive, but I won't be able to accommodate this in my place.
What do we do if those people that have that responsibility don't take up that responsibility, as we have seen happen, Kaza? I don't know whether maybe I'm sort of repeating the same question in many different ways. But let me change my question and make it a statement and say,
yes.
Once again, don't understand me not to be in support of your advocacy and lobbying, because it's deadly important. But what I'm saying is that we shouldn't hold our breath too much with regards to the responsibilities that corporate and government has in terms of the opportunities it gives. And yes, we need to continue, and that's why you're here in this conversation on this platform to raise that awareness. It's important. But I suppose the statement that I'm wanting to make is to say, over and above the advocacy and the lobbying that should take place, that perhaps a different mentality needs to start to develop that says, these guys have demonstrated over a period of time that the responsibility that Kazal is talking about has not been taken up. Secondly, in an environment where the economic arrows are pointing down, people are downsizing, it's become more and more difficult. People jump into their lagers, economic lagers. They go for familiar places, the easy and low-hanging fruits to pick. That's going to make it even harder for what Kazal Hendricks is lobbying for. What can we do then in that environment? What do we do for those that are living with disabilities in that reality, in that context? What do we do about the very skills that Kazal has been talking about that employers could be taking up and are not taking up? That is the mind shift that I'm looking for, to say, what can we start to do? What conversations can we start to have over and above the very important advocacy that you're talking about, Kazal? But what can we do in order to create a layer of assuredness for people living with disabilities that is not going to give the sense that if these people who have these responsibilities don't take up these responsibilities, then we are doomed? I'm arguing that if we don't have another conversation that says, let's start making a different plan than the one that we've been on, saying that, guys, you have a responsibility to employ people with disabilities. People with disabilities have skills. All of those things are important and true. But what if we are still waiting 10 years from now?
Yes, I understand. I understand that fully. And I'm going to answer that question in twofold, you know, and with regard to one of our future plans. And, you know, this is also one of the things that I've discussed with Stanley some time ago. But firstly, you know, like I said earlier on, we can't stop raising awareness. We can't stop being the plight of persons with disabilities to organizations, to government, and to the decision makers as well. But the one thing that that is one of in one of our plans going forward is that, apart from changing, or as part rather, from changing the behavior of society, and specifically from employers, you know, to host a conference whereby we bring the labor market, and I'm talking specifically now to our business people, our decision makers in government, and our entrepreneurs, bring them together in a conference, teach them about disability etiquette, challenge them during that conference, sign memorandums of understandings and agreement, going away from there, that my company, my organization will meet its equity targets as a pledge to go forward. That is one of the actions that we about to take and will and believe that we will get one-on-one engagement. Like you said earlier on, we're just throwing it in the air of a show.
Yeah.
But now we're bringing the two together. Yeah. Bringing the two together, get the commitments, you know, and saying, these are our pool. Employ them. And so this is the kind of action that we hope to achieve through our disability conference. Yeah. That we will, employment conference that we will then soon have.
Yeah.
How
do people get in touch with you, Kazel, especially those that would want to attend this conference? How do people get in touch with you if they want to continue the conversation with you and perhaps help you with the other lobbying and advocacy job that you are busy doing? How do people get in touch with you?
Oh, well, I will really appreciate it. Thank you. They can. Our email address is very easy. It's opiebol@gmail.com. It's OPPIEBOL. So it's opiebol Afrikaans.
Yeah.
And then they can also contact me on my cell that is 082 818-2956.
Kazel Hendricks, thank you very much for joining us this evening, CEO of Opiebol.